Tonight I have a real simple message, and as I mentioned this morning, I have 4 points. And so if you were here this morning, you got 11 this morning, you're getting 4 tonight, so you're getting 15 all together. And again, most preachers only have 3, so you're going to hear the equivalent of 5 sermons in the hour that we will spend together this morning and tonight put together. Some of you were, oh man, are we going to be here an hour? No. Just a half hour tonight, half hour. Yeah, amen, right, Brother Leonard? half hour this morning, half hour tonight, 15 points, 5 sermons, and you get it all. But I want to talk about reaping. You know, it's harvest time of the year. In fact, most of the crops are already in. And Jesus did a lot of his teaching in what we call parables, lessons about earthly things that were familiar to his hearers. And as he talked about those things and put heavenly truth into those parables, the people could understand it. I mean, and it's the same thing is true today. I mean, I've had many of you tell me, said, "Preacher, when you illustrate your message," like we sort of did in open assembly this morning, it's so much easier to understand, so much easier to get the point. And Jesus knew that, and as he taught the many things that he taught about the kingdom of God and about heaven and about his heavenly Father, he put them in terms that people could understand. And he taught about sowing and reaping, taught about that what you sow is what you reap. And so when Paul writes about it in Galatians chapter 6, he does the same thing. His hearers knew what sowing and reaping were, and he talked about, you know, everybody knows that what you sow is what you reap. But then, and he goes on in verse 8, we read, and he says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so tonight I just want to, again, real simple message, 4 points on sowing and reaping. Now, a lot of people, when they think about sowing and reaping from this verse, they think about it in the negative sense. You sow something negative, you're going to get something negative. But I want you to notice that Paul, when he talks about in verse 8, he's talking about both. He's talking about the negative and he's talking about the positive. And so tonight, in the 4 points, I want you to think from both ways. Yes, I want you to know that if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, just like Jesus, just like the Bible says. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. So it comes down, we have a choice. What are we going to sow? What are we going to sow? Each of us have that choice. We make that choice every day. What are we going to sow? We will reap what we sow. In fact, that's my first point. We will reap what we sow. We read it a minute ago. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Again, let's just be real simple for a minute. When you plant tomatoes, you expect tomatoes to come up, right? When you plant corn or you sow corn, you expect corn to come up. When you plant watermelons, you expect watermelons to come up. You don't plant potatoes and expect to reap squash. You just don't. You're not very much of a farmer if you do. You just don't. You don't plant peas and expect to reap zucchini. Doesn't work that way. You reap what you sow. Every farmer, every gardener knows that that is true. And the same is true in life. If you plant to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. And the Bible says that leads to corruption. Now, let me give you some a couple of examples of what I'm talking about in this particular point. The first example is salvation. There are people that sow the seeds of salvation in their flesh, and they are going to reap corruption. Talks about it in John chapter 1, verse 13, when the Bible says this, "Which were born not of blood." We'll come back. We're going to talk about the plan like we talked about this morning in a minute. But John's given us some examples of people that have sown salvation to the flesh. And he says, "Which were born not of blood." These are the people that depended on their ancestors to get them into heaven. These are the people that said, "Hey, my grandpa's a Christian, therefore I'm a Christian. My grandma knows Jesus Christ, therefore I must be going to go to heaven. My mom and dad were Christians, and therefore I can depend on their salvation. And John says, that's sowing to the flesh, and you're going to reap corruption. You won't get to heaven depending on what mom and dad and grandpa and grandma were or did. Praise God if you had a Christian mom and a Christian dad. Praise God if you had godly grandparents. But you will not get to heaven on the salvation of your mom and dad or the salvation of your grandparents. Then that verse says, nor of the will of the flesh. Again, planting the seeds of salvation, hoping to reap heaven, but you don't reap heaven by planting the will of the flesh. In other words, I'll work my way to heaven. I'll be good enough, and God will accept me into heaven. Let me ask you tonight. I don't want anybody to answer out loud, but if you believe in a work salvation, how good do you got to be to get to heaven? How much good do you got to do? How many kind deeds, how many kind words, how many people do you got to help to get into heaven? You see, I'm glad we don't have a good work salvation, because I'd always worry, did I do enough? Did I do enough to make it into heaven? I'm glad God didn't leave it to the will of the flesh. I'm glad it doesn't depend on our kindness, our honesty, our decency, our truthfulness. I mean, all of those are good things, and we ought to be honest, we ought to be truthful, we ought to be kind to one another. But I am not depending tonight on how good I am to get to heaven, and neither should you. Because I'll tell you, that's sowing the seed of the flesh, and it's going to reap corruption. Nor of the will of men, that verse finished up. That's depending on doing what other people tell you to do. There are all sorts of people today that have a different idea of how you can get to heaven. A lot of them want you to join their church. A lot of them want you to go through their sacraments. A lot of them want you to live the life that they will describe for you, and it doesn't even come close to what's in this book. And you cannot depend on what the will of man to get you to heaven, because I'm glad God's put teachers in our lives, and I'm glad God puts examples in our life, as long as they're pointing us to the Savior of this book and the blood of this book and the salvation of this book, you can listen to them. But if they preach any other salvation, if they preach any other Jesus, the Bible says to treat them as heretics. Don't listen to them. Don't get mixed up. I had a couple guys come to the house a couple weeks ago, Jehovah's Witness. And they said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I knew who they were. I could tell. They didn't even have to tell me. I said, yes, I do. I believe he's the Son of God. And I believe he's my Savior. He said, well, can we come in and talk to you about it? I said, nope. Sorry. He said, preacher, why didn't you get him in? Maybe you could save him. Maybe you could lead them to the Lord. Probably not. I have a friend at work who I worked on for 14 years, and I got nowhere with him. Now, I'm not saying you should write off all Mormons. I'm just saying I thought more important things to do that particular day, and I didn't want to get into debate and debate somebody that didn't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. I didn't want to get into a debate and debate somebody that believes Joseph Smith wrote a Bible. Sorry. You say, you're a heartless preacher. I had better things to do. And I would just encourage you. I was kind. I said, no, thank you. I know all about Jesus, and I don't think you could teach me anything. Thank you very much. And you be kind, but be careful. Just be careful. I mean, they have a bunch of zeal, but they don't have any knowledge that goes with the zeal, and they'll lead you astray if you let them and fall to their prey. Now, I believe they can be saved just like anybody else can be saved, but they're not saved by a book that Joseph Smith wrote. They are saved by a book that God himself wrote. There is no other way to heaven other than what's in this book. It's not of born of blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of the man. That's all sowing to the flesh. And the Bible says if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruptions. Christians are not born of that. Let me read the whole verse. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. But of God. We need to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no. And he said, look, I'm talking to you about something spiritual. He said, you listen to the wind. You can't tell where it goes or where it comes from. He said, I'm talking to you about spiritual things. I'm talking to you about the one that was lifted up. And Jesus said, and that's where John 3:16 is, right in that story. That's who heard John 3:16 for the first time, is that ruler that came to Jesus by night and asked Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Didn't say it in that words, but that's what he was looking for. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's what planting to the Spirit is when I come to God through Jesus Christ, like we talked about this morning. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That is the spiritual plan. And if you want to be saved, you have to plant spiritual seeds. And you need to tell Jesus tonight, if you're not saved, I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin. I believe that when you went to Calvary, you were paying the penalty for me. And Jesus, I want you to save me. That's what planting spiritual seeds are. That's what will reap life everlasting. Nothing else. Nothing else. So in our salvation, we're going to reap what we sow. One more example. In our treasures. In our treasures. Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You can sow to the flesh, and you can lay your treasures up here on earth, but you will reap to the flesh. You know, the things that you gather down here one day are going to be worth nothing. Nothing. Now just stop and think about it. Your house, your car, all the money that you have in the bank. It might be worth nothing before too long, but everything we have down here is going to be worth nothing. You've heard people say, you can't take it with you, and you can't. I know people have loaded their gold and their silver in their casket. It's just going to lie in the dirt. It ain't going anywhere. Everything that we stack up on down here is going to be worth nothing. It's just like a moth is going to come and eat it. It's going to rust, or somebody's going to steal it. It will be worth nothing. The treasures that we lay up in heaven, the seeds that we sow to the Spirit, and the treasures that we lay up there, no moth, no rust, no thief, they will last for eternity. For eternity. For eternity. Nobody will be able to take them away. And again, so we get to choose. You decide. Where you sow is where you're going to reap. And we can sow to the flesh, but the Bible says everything we sow to the flesh is going to end in corruption. In other words, it's going to rot. That's what that word means. It's going to spoil. It's going to be worth nothing. It's going to stink. But if we sow to the Spirit, that will lead to life everlasting. So, you reap what you sow. I reap what I sow. Number two, you reap where you sow. You reap where you sow. In other words, I don't plant a garden in my backyard and expect to go over to Larry's backyard and reap. I don't. Brother Leonard, I know Brother Leonard had a garden. Anybody else have a garden? All right, Brother Dick, okay. So Brother Leonard doesn't plant in his garden and expect to go over to Brother Dick's garden and reap. And Brother Dick doesn't plant in his garden and expect to go over to Brother Leonard's garden and reap. Now, they may trade produce. They may trade their crops. But Brother Dick, when he plants in his garden, you expect to reap from your garden, right? And Brother Leonard, when you plant in the backyard, you expect to reap in the backyard. You reap where you sow. So, again, we have a choice to make. Sow at home, reap at home. Spend time with your wife. God will bless your marriage. Spend time with your children. You'll reap good children. But so at work, you'll reap at work. In other words, if I spend all my time at work and ignore my wife and ignore my kids, I may reap at work. I may rise to the top at work. I may get a good position at work. But I will reap where I sow. I will reap where I put my time. And I know you got to find a balance. I know you can't just do one or the other, but you got to find the balance. Where are you planting your seeds? I mean, if I take all my seeds and I plant them in my job, and my job becomes the most important thing in my life, again, I may get promoted, I may make a lot of money, but I have given up because I've not sowed any seeds at home. You will reap where you sow. Same thing at church. I sow at church. I'll reap at church. I teach Sunday school. Or I stay in the nursery. Or I sing in the choir. Or I usher. Or I visit. Or I work with the junior church. Or I work with the junior choir. You are planting seeds. Where you plant, you will reap. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the change that we've seen in certain people's lives and how God has worked in their life and how God has changed them as a person. That's reaping. I told the person I was talking to, I said, that's why I'm in this business. That's why I'm here. I mean, I love to preach, and I love to be your pastor. But you know what my reward is? It's seeing people change. It's seeing little kids grow up, realize they're a sinner, ask Jesus to be their Savior, and then following Him in baptism. It's seeing them grow up and give their life to the Lord. I mean, that's my reaping. That's why I stay. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not staying for the money. I told you before, you could quit paying me and I'd still show up. And don't get any ideas. But I mean, I'd still show up and I'd still want to preach. I mean, I'm not in it for the money. What I'm in it for is to see these little kids ask Jesus to be their Savior. Is to see them learn the Bible. Is to see them be able to quote verses from the Bible. Is to see adults whose lives have changed because the Bible's gotten into them and the Word of God's gotten into them and the Holy Spirit's got a hold of them and He's changing their lives. I could go out and reap. I could go out and plant in the world. I mean, just like you could. We make choices. We make a choice. I mean, and I know sometimes you got to work on Sunday, but I've known people that have had to work every Sunday. And they make that choice. I'm going to work on Sunday. And I'm going to skip church. And they've reaped. They've paid the price for that choice. We reap where we sow. Number three, we reap later than we sow. You don't plant today and expect to reap tomorrow. It takes time. You plant in the spring, you reap in the fall. It takes a season to reap what we sow. That's why Paul said in verse 9 that we read from Galatians chapter 6, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Again, Paul's talking about that in a positive sense. He says, don't get tired in well-doing. Don't quit. Keep doing good in due season. You will reap. I mean, you may do good, and you may plant seeds for God, and you may not see the results for years. I mean, from the time God told Abraham he was going to have a little boy named Isaac and he was going to be the child of promise, 14 years passed. 14 years passed. He didn't get to see it. He had to be faithful and wait and not quit and not faint. And see the results. And listen, I know some of you have been praying for people for years and years and years and years. And they haven't made any move toward Christ. They haven't come. They're not any closer now than when you started praying for them. And I would just tell you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Helen, how many years did you pray for Betty and Harold? 50 years. See, we wouldn't have had, I wouldn't have had Brother Harold as my thorn in the flesh if Helen hadn't prayed for those 50 years. But I love him, and I am so glad that he is part of our church. I'm so glad that Betty's part of our church. I'm so glad that Peggy's part of our church. Helen could have quit after 30 or 40 years and say, boy, that Harold's so stubborn, I'm just going to give up. But she didn't. She didn't. She kept praying. Now, some of you have you have children you've been praying for a long time. And there, I know there's times you've thought, there's no use. No use. I would encourage you tonight, you'll reap if you faint not. Don't quit. Keep on. God's still God. You say, there's no way that God can reach my trial. He's God. Is the Lord's arm too short? Is there anything impossible for God? God can do it. You just keep praying. You will reap if you faint not. You don't plant a tomato and expect to pluck tomatoes off of it tomorrow. You don't, you know, plant a seed of corn tonight and go out tomorrow and expect to reap. It takes time. And if we faint not, if we're faithful, if we stay at it, we will reap. Now, it also works in a negative sense. You don't get into sin today and see the results today. You don't quit following God today and see the results today. See, a lot of people go off into sin and they think, well, I'm getting by with it because God hasn't sent lightning down from heaven and struck me dead. I'm getting by with it because he hadn't taken a baseball bat and, you know, hit me beside the head and put me in the hospital. God doesn't work that way. You will reap. That's why it says, be not deceived. Don't trick yourself into thinking that God hasn't noticed. He has. And don't confuse his mercy and his grace with his judgment. See, God holds back his judgment because he wants to give us a chance to take advantage of his mercy and grace and get away from that sin that we're in. Get back to where we're supposed to be. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't live your life and say, I'm getting by with it. God hadn't noticed. There's no consequences to me making those bad decisions that I've made. Yeah, there is. You may not see him today, but you'll see him tomorrow, next month, next year, the year after that. I mean, Abraham went to Egypt, and he was back from Egypt a long time before Sarah talked him into going into Hagar and having Ishmael. He should have never went to Egypt in the first place. He disobeyed God. He got out of the will of God when he went to Egypt. And he didn't pay for it until that little boy was born outside of the will of God. And God's people have been paying for it ever since. And I know there's people that say, well, I'm not worried because I can handle anything that God dishes out. Go ahead. I know I'm into sin. Go ahead, God. You go ahead and do what you got to do. I can handle it. Well, it may be okay for you, but what about your kids? What about your grandkids? You going to make that choice for them? You will reap what you sow. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. You think, well, he doesn't know what's going on in my life. Yes, he does. He's an omnipresent God. That means he's everywhere at the same time. He's an omniscient God. He knows everything that's going on. And don't think for a minute you're getting by with something. You will reap what you sow. It may be years before you see it. It may be almost a lifetime before you see the results. But don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. You choose to go into sin and you will pay the price. You say, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. I know you are. You will pay the price because God will not be mocked. We reap later than we sow. And then number four, we reap more than we sow. You know, no farmer takes a little kernel of corn and plants it in the ground and is satisfied if one little kernel comes up. You wouldn't do that, would you, Brother Dick? That's all you got, one for one? You wouldn't plant any corn, would you? I mean, if you planted a little tomato seed and you only got one tomato, you wouldn't do that for very long, would you? Brother Leonard, one for one, one kernel of corn? No. That's not the way it works. You always reap more than you sow. You plant that little kernel of corn, you expect a stalk to come up with lots of ears and lots of kernels on those ears. You plant an apple tree, you don't expect one apple. You expect a tree full of apples year after year after year. Same thing is true in life. We will always reap more than we sow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." You sow to the work of God, and God says, "I will give you more than you sow. I will open you the windows of heaven, and I will pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to retain it. You give, and it shall be given to you. Shaken together, pressed down, overflowing shall the Lord give to you." You always get more than you sow. It applies in a good sense. It also applies in a negative sense. In Hosea, they sowed the wind, but reaped the whirlwind. Sin starts as a little sin, but it always takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you want to pay. And I could give you example after example after example where somebody starts out in a little sin, and they ended up where they never thought they'd be. They thought they could handle it. They thought they can control it, but it ended up controlling them, and it cost them far more than they expected to pay. You see, sowing is an investment. A farmer takes his seed, plants it in the ground. He invests the cost of that seed. He invests the time it takes to plant, invests the time it takes to weed, the time to fertilize, the time to water. The reaping is his return. And we can understand that. Just like the people in Jesus' day did. You can understand, farmer plants a seed, he expects to reap. Same thing's true in our life. We make choices every single day. Where are we going to sow today? Where are we going to sow? Are we going to sow in the flesh? Or are we going to sow in the things of God? Are we going to sow in this world, or are we going to sow in the world to come? Are we going to sow in the here and now, or are we going to sow in eternity? Every day we make a choice. We make a choice. And tonight, I encourage you. You sow in the things of God. You sow in the fields of God. You sow in the eternal. You sow in what's going to last forever. That's making a wise choice. Now, if you're here tonight, and you've sowed to the flesh when it comes to the matter of your salvation, you just need to get it straight tonight. I don't care who told you what, but if somebody told you how to get to heaven other than coming through Jesus Christ, they told you the wrong way. There's only one way to heaven, and that's to come through Jesus Christ. You're here tonight, you're a sinner. You've never asked him to be your Savior. You need to do it tonight. He'll save you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Need to do that tonight. You're a Christian here tonight, and you would say, "You know, don't say it to me, say it to the Lord. Father, I know I've been sowing some seed in some wrong places. I've made some bad choices. Done some things that I shouldn't have done, and I want to get them right tonight. I want to get them right. I want you to come in just a minute. I want you to kneel at the altar, and I want you to get them straight with your God. Straight with your God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heed this verse, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for the simplicity of your word, but for the great truth that it teaches us. And I pray tonight that we'd be the right kind of sowers. I pray tonight we'd plant our seeds in the right soil. And I pray, Father, that that we would understand that this is a promise. It's a truth that comes from you. We will reap what we sow. And so I pray tonight you'll help us be good sowers so that we can be good reapers. Bless this time of invitation. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight would be the night they come and ask him to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. If we've gotten off the straight and narrow way, help us to get back on it. Help us to do what we know to do is right. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.